Open Government, Collaboration, Transparency and Participation in Practice. Authors, Daniel Lathrop, Laurel Rumor. An Open Government. Open government is the notion that people have the right to access the documents and proceedings of government, the idea that the public has the right to scrutinize and participate in government dates at least to the Enlightenment. Its principles are recognized in virtually every democratic country on the planet. The concept of an open government has been influenced, for the better, by the open source software movement and taken on a greater focus for allowing participation in the procedures of government. Open government also means improved communication and operations within the various branches and levels of government. More sharing internally can lead to greater efficiency and accountability. Outsourcing IT. In recent years, the government has become almost completely dependent upon contractors for information technology, IT. So deep is this dependency that the government has found itself in a position that may shock those in the tech industry. It has no programmers of its own. Code is almost entirely outsourced. Government leaders clearly consider IT as an auxiliary function that can be offloaded for someone else to worry about. But they should worry, because while they are pushing the responsibility for IT onto the margins, the role of IT became increasingly central to every agency's business. The government can no longer afford to outsource IT. It is core to the government's business. If the government intends to do IT right, it should wean itself from the outsiders and start doing the job itself. The problem is the processes they have given rise to. The pervading philosophy is that government is slow, inefficient, and incapable of quickly adapting to change, while private companies do things better, faster, and cheaper. In many cases, this is true. The government is by no means a well-oiled machine, but software is one thing that contracts do not speed up. Software developed under contract is much slower and much more expensive than any other form of software development still in practice. A new platform. There is a new compact on the horizon. Information produced by and on behalf of citizens is the lifeblood of the economy and the nation. Government has a responsibility to treat that information as a national asset. Citizens are connected like never before and have the skill sets and passion to solve problems affecting them locally as well as nationally. Government information and services can be provided to citizens where and when they need them. Citizens are empowered to spark the innovation that will result in an improved approach to governance. In this model, government is a governor and enabler rather than the first mover of civic action. Lesson 1. Open standards spark innovation and growth. The platforms that are the most generative of new economy activity are those that are the most open. The modern era in computing began in 1981, when IBM published the specifications for a personal computer that everyone would build using off-the-shelf parts. Prior to the introduction of the PC, IBM had a stranglehold on the computer market. It was a very valuable, but limited market, with a very few vendors serving a small number of very big customers. Now think about Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Wikipedia. Lesson 2. Build a simple system and let it evolve. In one of the early classics of software engineering, Systemantics, John Gall wrote, "A complex system that works is invariably found to have evolved from a system that was simple, that worked." The inverse proposition also appears to be true. A complex system designed from scratch never works and cannot be made to work. You have to start over, beginning with a working simple system. Lesson 3. Design for participation. Closely related to the idea of simplicity is the idea of designing for participation. Participatory systems are often remarkably simple. They have to be, or they just don't work. But when a system is designed from the ground up to consist of components developed by independent developers, magic happens. Open government and open society. The contest between the government and transparency advocates is usually rigged against transparency. In the open society domain, transparency laws and policies usually create requirements upon some small group of organizations, restaurants, car manufacturers, hospitals, and the like, to tell the public information that most organizations wouldn't voluntarily disclose. At a minimum, it is cumbersome to comply with these requirements. Often disclosure can harm some of these organizations by highlighting their bad behavior and embarrassing them. On the flip side, those who benefit from a greater social transparency, sometimes consumers, investors, citizens, and public at large, are much more numerous and diffuse. As a matter of practical politics, it is usually far easier for small groups of concentrated interest to organize to oppose or undermine transparency policies than it is for much larger groups of consumers and citizens to organize to support and defend those very same policies. Political scientists and political economics have called this problem the asymmetric organization. The dynamic explains why so many disclosure policies end up being toothless and ineffective. Recommendation for open data. While it's easy to point out the flaws with disclosure of political and other types of public information at the state level, offering concrete, implementable solutions is more difficult, given the nature of the information being requested and the potential political pitfalls that cause elected politicians to balk at approving solutions. On the larger stage, this level of transparency would enable deeper integration with state contracting vendor information, thus allowing the public the opportunity to judge whether the policy and spending decisions are based on political influence and friends of politicians or on the weight of their value. What data can tell you? No citizen should have to rely on the word of politicians to judge the efficacy of government programs. Being able to see for oneself with a few clicks of the mouse, to know, for example, whether there's a Superfund site near the home one is thinking of buying, is the great promise of online transparent government. But if half the Superfund sites aren't listed in the data, or are in the wrong place because of transposed digits in the zip codes, a common federal data problem, one might end up owning a dream home next to a toxic sludge hole. That means that auditing government data, determining what's collected, how it's collected, and what it's used for and how accurate it is, should be a priority. Certainly, government should take up the lion's share of this work, but the public, the press, and academics also have a crucial role to play in finding bad data. So, while it's unlikely to top the list of voter concerns in any poll, the quality of federal data, what they get wrong and what they leave out, is rapidly becoming a critical issue for the country. We can't create data-driven decision-making processes when the data itself is unreliable. When is transparency useful? Right now, technologists insist that they're building neutral platforms for anyone to find data on any issue. Journalists insist that they're objective observers of the facts, and political types assume they already know the answers and don't need to investigate further questions. They're each in their own silo, unable to see the bigger picture. The World Wide Web wasn't designated for publishing the news. It was designated as a neutral platform that could support anything from scientific publications to entertainment. Transparency can be a powerful thing, but not in isolation. So let's stop passing the buck by saying our job is just to get the data out there and it's other people's job to figure out how to use it. Let's decide that our job is to fight for the good in the world. The privacy imperative. The advance of more collaborative, transparent, and participatory government must embrace all of society's values, including privacy. Open government will succeed only if it appeals to the widest possible audience, including skeptics of government, opponents of any given administration, and people who do not trust technology. The heart of privacy protection in open government is data minimization, requiring citizens to reveal the least amount of information required for any given transaction or relationship. Open government systems should be designed with their precise goals in mind. Under these circumstances, they can minimize the data they collect. Accountability can be enhanced by active audit and immutable audit systems that deter and expose wrongdoing. And transparency in open government data systems can educate and empower a public that so often today remains indifferent about how data is used by the government and throughout society. For all of the promise of open government to come to fruition, systems must be designed with the basic values such as privacy in mind. With luck and lots of hard work, open government systems can fulfill a privacy imperative. The digital basis of open government. Open government is good, only when it's open in an efficient way. Governments must lead the way in this goal, both by example and by enforcing interoperability through really open digital standards, for several reasons. 1. Without exploiting all the potential of open standards, there can be no open government, no smart energy grids, no efficient services. Open data and file formats are mandatory to guarantee that all citizens can analyze raw public data or submit their own information, or that data can be retrieved 20, 50, or 100 years later. The first non-negotiable step towards any open government policy is therefore to demand that only really open formats and protocols be used for public data and digital interaction with any public administration. 2. In a modern world, technology, especially digital technology, is legislation. A government that insists on using, or tolerating, closed secret formats and protocols has abdicated part of its duty to protect individual freedom and equal opportunities, both in business and in education, as well as the hope of reducing costs. 3. Open formats save money. Only if there is no vendor lock-in can public agencies, businesses, and individuals get really competitive offers from many providers. 4. Open formats and protocols are both an extremely profitable investment and an enabler. Compared to reforming pension systems, healthcare, transportation, energy, pollution, or public education, open format protocols are much quicker and cheaper to adopt. Therefore, since software is so ubiquitous, the adoption of open formats has a positive impact on all those other fields. There's probably no way to save so much money in so many different places and free vital resources with so comparatively little effort than through these technologies. As long as that effort is coordinated, of course. That's why it must be governments that set the example and constitute the critical mass that makes open standards accessible to everybody.